Based on something I kind of mentioned in a previous sermon, I talked about sickness and stopping the spread. And in that sermon, I had brought up the importance of nutrition. I kind of had an acronym or an acrostic to try and help us remember seven steps that I think really are emphasized in the Bible, such as washing, alerting, separating, hiding contaminated material, masking, eradicating hazardous material, and then specifically nutrition. And I believe that the Bible, while it doesn't necessarily spell out nutrition or use that word, it definitely brings up this concept in a lot of different passages and a lot of different places in Scripture. But kind of just the essence, or to me, like something that's a really important thing to kind of latch onto, is this phrase found here in verse 1 of Proverbs 23, where the Bible says this: when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And I think that that's really the thought that I think a lot of us need to apply in our lives, is to consider diligently what is set before thee. And notice that it's using a lot of language here to describe this. Consider. First of all, that's saying think about. You know, to consider is to actually approach something with some thought or think about it. And then not only that, it says diligently. What is diligent? It would be to think about every aspect of what is set before you. And I think that this is an important principle upon which God's people could be benefited and blessed, is by considering diligently what is set before thee and what you're eating, because I believe that it plays a major role in your overall health and just generally just everything about us. Sometimes they'll say this: you are what you eat. And that's a very true statement, I believe. And so it's something that we need to really consider. It also says in verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, that is some strong language that the Bible is using here. Obviously, it's a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. That's not really trying to actually say you should ever put a knife to your throat. That's not what the Bible's saying at all, but it's just essentially trying to say that, you know, we should take seriously what we're eating and not really be a glutton. The Bible brings this up even in this exact same passage about being a glutton, and I'm not going to read that passage yet. We'll come back eventually, but I just kind of want to flesh out this thought for a moment. And, you know, my sermon doesn't necessarily have a lot of points. It's really, I just want to just emphasize the idea of nutrition. And I really just, the one walkaway thought is for us to just always consider diligently what is set before us, okay? And go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. The Bible, again, like I said, doesn't bring up the word nutrition, but I want to just read the definition, and then we're going to notice that in the definition of nutrition, we're going to see a phrase brought out a lot in Scripture. And if I look up nutrition in a dictionary, it'll say this: the process of nourishing or being nourished, especially by which a living organism assimilates food and uses it for growth and for replacement of tissues. So the idea of nutrition is, frankly, in a lot of ways, the nourishment and the growth aspect of food. One of the major aspects of eating food is just growth in general. Especially when you're younger, especially as a child, it's important to give children proper nourishment so that they'll grow properly. You know, if you want your children to reach their physical potential, you need to feed them lots and lots of food and feed them good food. It's going to have an impact on their physical growth. Not only that, us as just even adults, you know, you'll grow if you eat a lot of food, and, you know, it'll change how your body is structured. The type of food you're eating, what you're eating, how often you're eating, it just has a major impact on our daily lives. And we all pretty much eat probably at least 3 times a day. And if you include snacks and, you know, late dinners and all the other stuff, it's like sometimes it's even more, right? So food's a big part of our life. It's a big part of who we are. And the Bible, again, while it doesn't say the word nutrition, it does bring up the word nourishment a lot. Nourishment is a concept and a thought that's it's brought into Scripture quite a bit. And of course, it's often in a spiritual context, but that's because the Bible uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths. And so, you know, the things that we should recognize in our carnal world should help us then to bring that into a spiritual context and help us to apply spiritual truths better. But notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice that the Bible is saying, you shouldn't hate yourself. You shouldn't hate your body, and in fact, it's very contrary to not like yourself. But notice what it's saying is that we try to nourish and cherish our own bodies. And so the nourishment that we provide to our bodies is a very important thing, and it's something that we should take seriously. Go to Daniel chapter number 1. Go to Daniel chapter number 1. So in the context of the sermon this evening, you know, we could think a lot about the idea of nourishment and the importance of growth, and not only growth from a like height perspective or just even muscles or something like that, but if you kind of understand how the human body works, your body is constantly replacing everything. It's replacing your skin. It's replacing your hair. It's replacing your blood. It's replacing your bones. And most of, you know, even working out is damaging or destroying things in your body, and then the body either repairing or replacing it. You know, you're tearing your muscles so that your body will rebuild those muscles stronger. And so there's a lot of aspects that are going on in your body that are a repair process or a constant renewal process that's happening. I've heard it said that your blood is basically replaced. I think it's your bones. Your bones are basically being replaced like every 7 years approximately based on just what's going on in the natural body process. And that's a good thing. That's part of the mechanisms and why we heal ourselves. Since the body's constantly replacing itself and constantly growing new skin, new hair, and new parts of your body, a lot of times that's those mechanisms are sped up or heightened when you're injured and your body's basically trying to replace those skin cells that have been damaged or replace the blood. You know, people can literally donate blood and then eventually replace all of that blood. And so, you know, eating is important in that process of replacing and the growth and the tissue that's going on in your physical body. Now, that in mind, and the concept that we read in Proverbs 23, the Bible says to consider diligently what is set before thee. I can't think of really a more clear example of that than Daniel. And look what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end thereof might stand before the king. So in Daniel chapter 1, the king is going to be the one providing nourishment for these children and for 3 years. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. But this is exactly what the Bible is saying in Proverbs 23. It's like when you're sitting with a ruler, to consider diligently what is set before thee. And notice that Daniel is not willing to eat the king's meat. He's thought about whatever is going to be provided to him, and he's not going to eat it or drink it because he doesn't want to defile himself. And so he's taking these things very seriously. Look at what it says in verse 15. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. I'm kind of just cherry picking some verses here, but what I'm trying to emphasize is the actual physical aspects here. Notice that Daniel needs nourishment, not just spiritually, he needs physical nourishment. And let me tell you something, children in this room need physical nourishment. You know, we need to be very diligent and making sure that we're feeding our children and giving them good food and we're keeping them healthy. That is an important aspect of them. And Daniel, it was important for them to be physically in shape. And the Bible is saying by the meals and the food that they ate, they were fairer and fatter in flesh, meaning that they actually looked better. What does the word fair mean? The word fair means beautiful. The word fair means looks good. And, you know, you'll see people that are the same age and they look way different. And it doesn't matter, like all over the spectrum. You can see people that are 15 and 15 and they look way different, 20 and 20, 30 and 30. And I wonder how much of that actually has to do with diet and lifestyle. Many times it's the reality. You know, I've seen young women who drank a lot of alcohol or smoked cigarettes and they're like in their 20s and they look 40. And you're just thinking like, what's wrong with you? And then you see some people that are like 40 and they look 25 and you're thinking like, how is that? You know, it's like you look at the Asian culture and it's like they're really emphasizing like certain foods and stuff like that. You'll see people that are, you know, very old and they look very young. And it's like, this is someone that's probably not been smoking a lot and drinking heavily, and they've probably been taking care and considering the food that they're eating. Whereas you see a lot of Americans eating a lot of junk food, smoking and drinking and doing all these things to their body. And then they literally look like they've aged 10 or 20 years beyond where they're actually at in life. And so, you know, part of our nourishment even has a major impact on you, just your physical appearance. That's what the Bible is literally saying, that Daniel actually looked better, more attractive, more beautiful, more handsome based on the foods that he was eating and considering what he was drinking. And you know what? I believe the same thing, that we should really take into account the food and the drink and the things that we're eating, because it's going to have an impact on how we look, how strong we are, and there's a lot of aspects to the food that we eat. Go if you would to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4 now. And again, you know, I'm not necessarily emphasizing this evening something that is spiritual right now. I'm emphasizing something that's physical. You know what? God cares about the physical stuff. You know, I think that we don't want to get this weird idea that the Bible doesn't even bring up anything about our daily lives or a lot of these subjects. And, you know, I haven't really heard a lot of sermons on these things, virtually none, I guess, but I think it's important. It's in the Bible. There's a lot of verses here. I think we should consider diligently what is set before us. I believe that we should take Daniel's approach, that we should consider the food that we eat as to how it's going to impact our lives. Because when you're clear-headed, when you're stronger, when you have more focus, that's just more energy and effort you can put into the things of God. So it's actually spiritual to be healthy, because now you're actually in better shape to serve God. What happens when you're not healthy and you're not focused and you're not smart and you're not working hard? You know, it'll help you in your job. It'll help you in your relationships. It'll help you in every area of life. And so we should take seriously what God has given us, because, you know, anybody can be healthy. Like, anybody can choose to eat good food and take care of themselves and could be in good shape. You know, you can't always necessarily change the fact of like how tall you are or how attractive you are or any of those kind of things. But let me say this, being healthy will make you so much more attractive anyways. And in fact, most of the time, the reason why people are not very attractive is just because they're not very healthy. And if they were just really healthy, they would look a lot more attractive than they're perceived right now. So, you know, anybody could do this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, notice this word, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So often when the Bible uses the word nourishment, it's in the context of the words of God, of spiritual diet, spiritual nutrition. But why is it being applied here? Because we were just bringing up the idea of physical food, and it's saying there's technically not any food that's necessarily bad if it's received with prayer. Now, again, what is the context of 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 4? It's in the context of eating certain meats, like eating pork, eating what would be considered unclean beasts of the Old Testament. It's saying, technically speaking, anything that was considered as an unclean beast in the Old Testament is still good for you and it's still fine to eat. You should obviously pray for your meal, but there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. But this is not saying, what this is not saying is that literally any food out there is fine. What this is not saying is McDonald's is great now, okay? You know, we should never refuse any kind of food or any kind of nourishment. It's not saying the soy burger is good now. That's not meat, literally, okay? So, you know, let's make sure we're careful in our context here that we don't go wild and start then saying like, oh, Twinkies are good now, you know, or you know, I'm just going to eat as much junk food as possible, but I prayed for it. You know, that's taking this verse out of context here. It's saying there's nothing wrong with eating pork or eating, you know, certain unclean birds, or I believe rabbit was considered unclean. Obviously dog is. Don't eat dog, okay? I'm just kidding. But it technically, hey, if dog's on the menu and you prayed for it, go for it, okay? You know, it's probably still more meat than McDonald's, so, you know, you never know. But we should at least consider diligently what's set before us. And if it's an unclean beast, be like, did you cook it? You know, make sure it's cooked and, you know, consider what you're eating still. Look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Here's another aspect of this, and, you know, I'm mostly emphasizing nutrition, but another thing is just overall just health, exercising, working out, taking care of our bodies. You know, we live in a culture where almost everything is so much easier than times past that we actually have to exercise. Like in times past, you didn't need to exercise because you were good. You're good on having to walk a couple miles just to get some water from the well. You were good in the fact that you didn't have a dishwasher and you didn't have a washing machine and you didn't have a car and you didn't have all, you literally walked everywhere, ran everywhere, carried everything. You didn't even have processed food. You didn't even have junk food. In order to eat, you had to make it. That would actually make a lot of people skinny. Is if you personally had to make your food, that would just cause, because you would just be thinking like, you're starving all the time, but you don't have anything to eat because you have to literally physically make it, okay? And in times past, for the most part, people have not really suffered with the idea of gluttony as much just because they didn't have as much access to food. They were hoping to eat, not like eating too much. That is, you know, only in certain contexts, major cities with lots of abundance. Of course, that's us today, but a lot of people have not had to struggle with that. A lot of people today aren't struggling with overeating because they just don't have access to that. So, you know, we as American citizens living in Texas, living in the land of prosperity, living in the land of great food, we have to emphasize the idea of not being a glutton and actually exercising. Whereas other people may not have to emphasize that as much. They have to emphasize other things. So, you know, I believe that it's still important. Notice it says, for bodily exercise, profit a little. It doesn't say it doesn't profit. It does technically profit. Now, again, should we all just join the gym and then quit church? No, because godliness is way more profitable, okay? You know, if I have to pick the church or gym, I'm going to pick church. But it's not always like you can't have both. It's not saying don't do both. It's just saying make sure you're godly. That's the most important thing. And, you know, hey, it's still that bodily exercise helps, though. You know, it's not that it's bad. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. And I would argue in many ways, if you read the scripture in whole, having good health and being in shape and being strong will actually help you then accomplish that first goal, being godly. Now, go if you would to, let's go to Ezekiel. No, I don't want to go there first. I want to go back to Proverbs 23. So, in essence, we need to consider diligently what we're eating. There's a lot of food out there that is not very healthy for you. And, you know, I've heard this. It's probably somewhat true. It's like when you go to the grocery store, everything on the aisles that has a shelf life of 5+ years is really not the best stuff to be eating. Like, the best stuff is pretty much the perishable stuff. The perishable stuff is, and this is just a general rule, okay? The perishable stuff is usually the best things you can eat. The non-perishable stuff is usually the stuff that's going to be high in calories, not as nutritious, probably not helping you. That's just my personal opinion. I've heard that. It seems to match a lot of things that are true in the Bible. So, you know, just generally speaking. And there's certain foods you could literally eat as much as you want, and you will not ever get fat. Like, you just can't. Like, you can eat unlimited celery, carrots, cucumbers. You could just, you couldn't eat enough to ever gain weight. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with eating large amounts of food. But we, you know, being a glutton is more of the idea or the context of just gorging yourself, especially on foods and things that taste good. You know, dainties, treats, delicacies, things that are not designed to actually give you strength, but are just a pleasure food only. You don't look at this food and think like, I need this to really give me strength for the day. It's really just for joy, or you just like how it tastes. You know, that the person gorging themselves on this, that is really what the Bible is kind of de-emphasizing. Because again, there's really nothing wrong with eating certain healthy foods. You could literally just eat all day and there's no problem. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's not really necessarily de-emphasizing this. But notice what it says in Proverbs 23, verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So the Bible is comparing a glutton with someone that's a riotous eater of flesh. So this is just someone gorging themselves on food, gorging themselves on things that, you know, specifically, I mean, flesh, you could think of meat, but I think it even extends itself to the dainties and the treats, because that's what's brought up in verse 3. Look what it says this. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Often when the Bible uses the word meat, it just means food, which is a little confusing. Because a lot of us think of the word meat. I think of the word meat, I'm thinking like steak, burgers, brisket, ribs, like all of that sounds great, okay? But often, many times, the word meat is just simply saying food, okay? And notice, again, is bringing up the idea of dainties. Because what, a king is going to be the one that kind of has all of the desserts and all the really fun food to eat, things that aren't necessarily necessary for daily life, they're just fun to eat. And it's just saying, be careful. You don't want to go this way of just gorging yourself on this type of food. Being a riotous eater of flesh, that sounds extreme. But you look at America, and it's kind of like that. And even Texas. Now, look, I love Texas, okay? So it's hard for me to say anything negative. But let's just be honest, when you travel to foreign countries, most of the time, when they have the largest item on the menu, you know what it's called? The Texas burger, the Texas steak, the Texas sandwich. Like, they're literally, like, you'll just go to a foreign country. You go to Australia, and it's like, hey, try our Texas burger. And it's like two patties and bacon and, you know, it's like this giant thing. You can't even fit it in your mouth. And you're just kind of thinking like, huh, you know, I like Texas food, but that doesn't mean I have to always have Texas portions. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not down. If someone has the Texas burger, God bless you, okay? But maybe you shouldn't have it for every meal, right? It's like, hey, I have the Texas burger with the Texas shake, with the Texas fries, and then after that, I'm gonna have the Texas cake, you know, amen, and then the Texas apple pie and ice cream. I feel like there's these places, I don't even know what they're called exactly, but they're like shake places or something like that. And it's like, they have like, or does, I don't know what they are, but they're like, it's like a shake and then like a donut, or like on the shake. And then, or they'll put like cookies and then they'll put like all this stuff. And I'm just thinking like, who's eating this stuff? Like, it's just a random place. It's like, hey, after my meal, I'm gonna go get a bucket of ice cream and milk and a donut and cookies and eat all that, and then I'm gonna go have dinner, and it's just like, what is happening? And notice what the Bible literally says It says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. It's saying, don't be like this, and don't even be around this person. You know why? Because you'll go in there and be like, that shake looks pretty good. You know, that looks pretty good. It's kind of saying you're going to kind of fall victim of their lifestyle, of that kind of habit. And notice what the consequence of this, the glutton's going to come to poverty. Buying food's expensive anyways. You know, one of the best ways to save money is just to diet. Because it's like, you don't even realize how much money we spend on food and all kinds of different things. And it's like, you know, eating healthy food oftentimes isn't even that expensive because no one wants to do it. It's a lot of times the junk food and the Texas burger that's really where all the expenses come in. You know, you go to restaurants, a lot of these places, drinks are really expensive and they're really high in calories. And you know, it's fun. But at the same time, you know, if you never limit yourself, if you're not showing any kind of self-control, well, there's going to be consequences to that. Go to Proverbs 30. You know, it's important that we're not doing this because gluttony kind of lends itself to other sins that are being alluded to here. Laziness and rebellion is kind of what's being alluded to. The consequence is poverty, but really the sin of gluttony at its core is really kind of related to and similar to the idea of being lazy and kind of rebellious. And you'll often see a parallel between people that are gluttons or fat in the Bible as being kind of lazy people, being kind of rebellious people. I don't even have this in my notes, but you could think of like Eli's sons there, getting fat and gorging themselves on all the meat offerings. And they're, of course, what? Very rebellious. They're very sinful. They don't really care about the things of God. And the Bible alludes to the idea of being full as a negative thing often. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Notice, you know, in this proverb, and the context was the idea of him being fed with food convenient for him, but he doesn't want something. He doesn't want to be full of food, because by being full of food, what is a potential consequence of this? Notice it says, lest he deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Meaning a lot of times people that are gorging themselves on food and just have too much food and too much consumption, that they really don't want God. And boy, doesn't that just kind of sound like America, that we're just so gluttonous and so full that we don't really need God? It's like they're not hungering for righteousness. And they're so full and they're so gorging themselves. Whereas many times people that are poor and missing meals, they're a little bit more receptive to the things of God and being spiritual. Whereas people that have every need taken care of and they're very full, they're not as interested in the things of God. Go to Deuteronomy 21. Go in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21. Makes me think of in Jeremiah when, and I used this verse recently in another sermon, but the Bible says, when I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery. So it was saying like, hey, once they're full, now they're committing wicked sins and all kinds of iniquity. So we don't want to downplay the fact that the Bible is really harsh and negative towards the idea of being a glutton, just consuming a lot. And we're going to constantly see this in the text, but I'm telling you that the Bible over and over is emphasizing, you know, the food that we consume and not necessarily gorging ourselves and eating too much. Deuteronomy 21, look at verse 20. The Bible says this, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Notice again, the parallel between someone that is stubborn, lazy, rebellious, and what? A glutton. And so oftentimes gluttony, someone that's just feeding themselves and gorging themselves, often falls victim to this exact same thing again. Go if you would to Deuteronomy 8. Just go backwards a little bit. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And look at verse number 11. Well, let's start in verse 10. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, Notice that word again, full. When thou art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So God is worried that if people eat too much food and they're too full, that they could do something. Forget God. Yeah. Draw away from God. You know, again, nutrition being a very healthy thing. You know, if I'm just gorging myself, I could become very lackadaisical, very lazy. You know, some people don't realize that eating certain foods will literally just cause you to be like tired. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you eat too much food, like, I'll just be honest. If I go and eat a big lunch, I don't want to go soul winning at all. Like, I'm just kind of like, I just want to, like, go take a nap or, like, never wake up again or just lay around. Like, you know, it's just you kind of feel bloated and you're just like, brr. You know, it's a lot easier for me to go soul winning if I left lunch still a little hungry. Like, I still wanted to eat just a little bit more. Because as soon as we leave, I'm not hungry anymore. But it's like, sometimes we don't realize, like, you're not really hungry. You're just, your body is just a selfish jerk, okay? And he just wants more than he can handle. And oftentimes, you just walk away, drink some more water. Your brain will recognize, okay, I didn't technically need the Texas burger shake and cake and everything else, you know. I still want it, but... And often I have a lot more energy. In fact, I try often not to preach after having eaten right away. Like, it's kind of difficult. You don't really feel the same. It's almost better to do it kind of on an empty stomach or on a lean stomach because it's almost like you have better energy. Yeah. And so, you know, by always being full, you're going to often just be kind of lazy. You're not going to necessarily want to do a lot of things. Even, you know, I've noticed this, and you don't have to do this. This is how I work, but I pretty much just don't eat breakfast, like, ever. I have, and I will sometimes, but I don't eat breakfast. And if I work, like, if I'm just working or doing something, I don't even notice. It's not even really a sacrifice. But I've also noticed this. On the days where I'm kind of like, yeah, I want to eat this, or this looks good, as soon as I start eating something, I am starving. Like, if I don't eat anything, I feel fine until lunch or even past lunch. I don't even notice food. I don't even care. But if I were to eat like, hey, I'm just going to eat like a half a banana or I'll just eat something, then all of a sudden it's just like all I can think about is food. And I just want to eat and I just want to gorge myself. Because it's like your body responds to what you're doing. You're working, it'll be like, okay, I guess we're in work mode. But as soon as I like open food, it's like the hunger demons come out and they're just like, feed me! And I just want to eat and eat and eat. And so, you know, oftentimes we don't even necessarily need food. It's just your body's responding because you ate something. You kind of just, you're triggering it, and it's causing it to now think like, oh, okay, let's fill it up, you know, since we're here. And so you got to be careful. You know, I hear a lot of diets like snack all day, and I'm thinking like, that would be really bad for me. You know, I kind of try to avoid eating for certain periods of time because I find it a lot easier. But it's very consistent in the text, we're in Deuteronomy 32, that when you're fat, full, gorging yourself, that you have a tendency to reject God. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Notice when they got fat is when they're forsaking God. And again, this is kind of just symbolic language that's being described here, but it's symbolic because of the carnal truth that often when people will, quote, wax fat, they will be weary of the things of God, not desire the things of God. And so I believe taking care of our bodies physically is important. I want to go to Ezekiel 16. I want to go to one more place. But here's a question. You know, if you don't like this sermon, if you're mad at me, I mean, how many texts do I have to show you that say the same thing? I mean, we're just seeing a consistent theme, like, hey, they're waxing fat, they kick, you know, my son's a glutton, he's the one that's rebellious. We see in Proverbs 23, the glutton is the person that's coming to poverty. The Bible just really warns us, we want to be hungry for righteousness and for the things of God, and somehow it has a parallel to our physical well-being and not necessarily gorging ourselves physically either. Ezekiel 16, look at verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, what is iniquity? Sin. So it's saying this is the sin of Sodom. Pride, notice this one. Fullness of bread. Did you notice that? Hey, here's the sin of Sodom. One of them is fullness of bread. You know what that is? Gluttony. Gluttony. One of the sins of Sodom is that it was gorging itself on food. It was just filled to the brim with food. And then notice, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor needy. This sounds like America. Super prideful, full of just food and gorging themselves and gluttony. Obesity has become a major problem in America. And in fact, I saw an article. It said obesity has now become a much more dangerous thing in the world than starvation. They said that there are more people are going to die or have problems because of obesity than starvation in the world. We do not have a food problem in the way that many people try to present it. It's more eating too much than it is not eating enough. Abundance of idleness. Boy, that's just negative. You need to find something to do. And doing something will keep you out of trouble. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at a couple more verses here. You know, what are some things to eat? Well, you know, I'm not going to try and get up here and just tell you all, you know, I'm not going to give you a book that says eat this and don't eat this, right? You can buy that book, right? It's like, eat this, don't eat this. It's like a whole book or whatever. And here's the reality. If I go on the internet and I try to ask the internet, what should I eat? Literally every possible option times 10 exists. Yep. You'll find 10 articles that say eat this and 10 articles that say never eat this. Yep. Like there's really, I don't personally believe there's even very much consensus anymore. There's just so much out there. So many diets and so many variations and people are like eat meat, don't eat meat, eat fruits and vegetables, don't eat fruits and vegetables. I mean, at least this though. No one's advocating to eat McDonald's, all right? Like, there's pretty much every opinion out there except for, like, fast food. Everybody's pretty much like, fast food's terrible for you, okay? But here's my belief, and here's what I think the Bible wants us to do, is to try and eat biblical foods. Yeah. Try to eat something that the Bible's talking about. And the closer it is to what the Bible described, I think the better it is for us. And the further away, the less recognizable it is in the Bible, like a dead bird egg or something. It's like, I don't remember seeing that in the Bible, okay? Like, that sounds scary, okay? But notice what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So here's a great idea, eating fruit literally, and eating the seeds of that fruit. You know what, seeds, nuts, and fruits are really good. And that's just my personal opinion, but I feel like the Bible, I mean, this is God's like first instruction. Like, here's the thing you should emphasize eating, the fruits that's coming from the trees. Okay, so that's a really good thing to eat according to the Word of God. And that's what God wants us to do. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 27. Go back to Proverbs 27. Fruits and seeds are really important. And I also believe, you know, fruits and seeds have a lot of health benefits that we don't know about. And many times science is kind of catching up to these things and identifying them. You know, there's certain diseases like Lyme disease where people were literally getting, I believe it's scurvy, and limes had certain nutritional elements in it that help people not literally die, and it's like Lyme disease, okay? So there's a literal fruit curing a literal illness, and it's not like the fruit cures the illness, it's more of the nutritional aspects of that fruit help that person not have a specific deficiency, and as a result, they get less sick or less prone to certain diseases or illnesses. And so we need to recognize that there could be a lot of things that could be solved by literally what you eat. But you know, let's be honest, if I go to the doctor, do you think the doctor is gonna wanna tell me like, hey, you need to sleep and eat some better food and go home, and I'm not gonna be able to charge you for any drugs or any medicines or anything like that. And in fact, if you eat all this, I'll never see you again because you'll just be healthy. Do you think the doctors really wanna do that, their protocol? Or would they just like to prescribe you medication and say, go eat the Texas cheesecake, you know, monster shake, just take this pill and you'll throw it up later or whatever, or it'll somehow eat your insides out and it'll destroy the calories. Like most people today, when they go to the doctor and they're obese, you know what the doctor does? He prescribes them medication. He doesn't say, work out and eat differently. He says, continue your existing lifestyle, but then take this heart blood pressure medication. Take this kind of medication. It's like, look, I'm not down on anybody for taking medication, but at the same time, like, could that be resolved another way? Yeah. Could you be handling that in a different way? Hey, look, we should take those things seriously. Don't hear me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, why do I always need medication as opposed to proper diet and nutrition? You know, I think that there's a lot to be said about just handling it through proper diet and nutrition. The Bible also says this in Proverbs 27, verse 26. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So the Bible brings up milk, and specifically goat's milk, as being for food. So here's some suggestions. Fruit, seeds, milk. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 24. For sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of other places. I have a lot more written down. But think about some verses like, give us this day our daily bread. So here's some things you should be eating. Bread, fruit, seeds, milk. How about this? Drink water out of thine own cisterns. Here's something you should be drinking. Water. Boy, that'll help your life. Drink water. Lots and lots of water. That should be your primary drink, is just tons of water and milk, okay? Water and milk, these are really good beverages for us to have. You know, what were the beverages that Daniel's avoiding? Wine. And wine could be alcoholic, but it could also just be in general, you know, it's not necessarily great to just drink a bunch of juice all the time or to drink sugary beverages or beverages high in calories. That's not necessarily gonna be great for you. The Bible talks about a wise man being strong. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 that strong meat belong to those who are of full age. So meat, you know, meats are important in the Bible. Bread, water, milk, you know, fruit. The Bible brings up other foods. I'm not going to bring up raisins and different things like that. But, you know, it doesn't bring up ho-hos and Twinkies and shakes and ice cream and cookies and all this other stuff. And the few times it does, it's like dainties or confectionaries, and it's like they are for kings. And the Bible's saying, hey, you probably shouldn't be going down that road. You probably shouldn't be gorging yourself on that kind of material. And really, if you go to the grocery store, what are the outside aisles? The fruit, the cheese, the milk, and the meat, and the bread, and then you got to the counter. What's all the stuff in the middle? All the sugary carbs and all the kind of processed foods and all the other kind of stuff. So again, I'm not down. If you say I'm only shopping in the middle section of the grocery store after this, go for it. You know, I'm just here to tell you that it might be a wise idea to consider what the Bible's bringing up and eating a lot of this kind of food. Let's also, I want to say this, you know, because we live in America and we can literally have any food we want whenever we want, we're not really forced into anything. You know, in times past, you kind of were forced to eat certain foods just out of the sheer supply aspect. Like, you don't necessarily have every fruit at your disposal. You're kind of limited what fruits just grew on the tree. It's seasonal, okay? Go to Ezekiel 47. Let's read that. Let's read that. Keep your finger in Proverbs 24 because we'll come back to it. Go to Ezekiel 47. And, you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, when it's talking about to Timothy, it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Sometimes there is a medicinal or benefit to drinking a little bit of juice or different things. I think my wife's looked this up, and she said drinking grape juice kind of helps balance the pH in your stomach. It can kind of help you with certain stomach issues. So I'm all for what would be described as holistic remedies, you know, eating certain foods and vegetables and considering your health. I think that that's going to have a major impact. And one of those things also could be eating seasonal fruits. Eating seasonal fruits, finding out when fruits are technically in season and eating them then. Because, you know, oranges don't grow on the tree unless you live, you know, in certain places every single month. Not everything grows on trees. It's like they have to import them from all kinds of different places in the world because of the way seasonality works. But, you know, I believe that it's very likely that God intended for us to eat things in different time periods. You know, when it's the winter, it's typically when citrus grows. And, you know, citrus has some benefits with vitamin C and vitamin D. Often when it's the winter, you're not going outside as much, so you're not getting as much vitamin D from the sun. And then when a lot of people get sick in the wintertime. So, you know, perhaps maybe you should consider having more vitamin D, vitamin C in your diet in those time periods. But look what it says in Ezekiel 47, verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So the Bible's saying, you know, it's kind of alluding to the tree of life, and it's talking about future, but specifically saying, hey, it's going to be bringing different food in different months, and specifically even those leaves could be used for types of medicine. You know, a lot of leaves are used in creating teas or other kinds of beverages, and so we should consider what God has already created for us and not ask some doctor in a lab coat that is conjuring up drugs and giving them to us, okay? Now again, I'm not 100% against medications that are made in the pharmacy or laboratory. Obviously, you know, there's certain drugs like penicillin and other things that have been developed that have greatly benefited society. But I also think we should consider diligently what's set before thee, including drugs. And we shouldn't just always be reliant on drugs. Maybe we should consider our diet and what we're eating. People will think, oh, I keep getting sick because of sick people. Well, sometimes that's true. Maybe you're getting sick because you're not eating healthy. You're not getting any kind of exercise. You're not taking care of yourself. And so you're just allowing any kind of sickness or disease or bacteria to attach onto you, and you get sick from it very easily. You know, the more healthy you are, the more you're taking nutrition very seriously, it's going to have an impact. Why would Paul tell Timothy, hey, drink wine? Because it's literally going to impact his health. He's getting sick all the time. And Paul's really frustrated with him for getting sick all the time. He's like, drink some wine. You know, it's like, hey, don't just only drink water. Drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. I like that word often. He's just like, hey, this guy is getting sick too much. You know, make sure you're drinking a little wine. Meaning that we have a direct impact on how often we get sick. And what was his remedy? Food. What was his remedy? Drink, beverage, the things that he has in his diet. And I think we need to take those things seriously. Go to back to, I think it was what, Proverbs 24? Proverbs 24, look at verse number 5. I'll just read for you real quick. But the Bible says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. We as men need to be physically strong. And this world wants us to be weak. And let me tell you something, by the food that you eat, it will greatly impact your physical strength. You know, what the world wants us to do is eat crickets and burgers and soy and just be weak and fat and out of shape. And you know what? as God's people, as men, we need to be strong and physically fit, where we're able to use our minds at its full capacity. We're able to use our legs when we go out and preach the gospel to its full capacity, and where we're physically strong. We don't want to be a weak, sissified nation. You know, especially for the next generations, you know what women are attracted to? Strong men. And we need to raise our children and raise the young men to be strong men, to not be weak and effeminate. You go to other countries, it's like every guy in that country kind of seems a little bit weak or docile or kind of effeminate. And it's kind of a shame. It's kind of embarrassing. You know what? Our country should not go that way. Our country needs to stay strong physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. So we need to work on our health and nutrition. You know, I don't, for sake of time, I'm not going to read as much as I wanted to about this other thing, but I kind of brought up previously this article, and I'd read a little bit about it, and it was called Germ Theory Denialism. And it's really interesting because it kind of puts two different thoughts side by side and kind of compares them, compares like the germ theory, and then it compares, in one section of this, a thing called the terrain theory. And this is what I find interesting about this, though, is while I believe that, you know, the scientific aspects of the germ theory are true, that's my personal opinion, and, you know, I definitely would say that a lot of their conclusions are true, the practices of those who have come up with this and a lot of the things that have stemmed from it are very negative, where they really go overboard with, like, vaccination and just a lot of medications. Whereas it's funny because this terrain theory, while I don't necessarily subscribe to a lot of the scientific conclusions, most of the people who did subscribe to this ended up being better off and actually having better practices in their life. And it's kind of funny. But I was reading this article. It's like a Wikipedia article, and it's just talking about it. And this is what it says specifically about the terrain theory. It says, however, understanding the cause of a sickness does not always immediately lead to effective treatment of sickness. So it's saying, like, just because someone knows why someone was sick doesn't mean they actually know how to deal with it properly. And it said that the great decline in mortality during the 19th century stemmed mostly from improvements in hygiene and cleanliness. In fact, one of the first movements to deny germ theory was called the sanitary movement. And this was central in developing Americans' public health infrastructure. So this is what's so funny. All of like our modern science is kind of based on germ theory. And if you go to medical school or you go to the hospitals or the doctors, that's kind of what they're based on. But they're saying like all the great improvements we had in the healthcare system were from people that didn't subscribe to the germ theory, but they actually brought in sanitation methods into our hospitals, infrastructure like clean water and washing and nutrition and health and fitness. Like basically all the things in the Bible saying, it's like all these people were doing. And it's just kind of funny how that works. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't really care what this world says. You know, like I don't really care what theory or what is the most, you know, up-to-date research, because it's always changing and they keep proving each other wrong and all this stuff. I care about the application. And I'll tell you what, many times people that don't necessarily subscribe to a lot of modern medicine, they end up being a lot healthier and more productive people in society. It's like they are the ones who actually recognize a lot of the things the Bible are saying, and they work on their health and their fitness and what they eat. And you can't necessarily blame everything on just bad germs out there or something. You know, sometimes you need to take some ownership and say, like, maybe I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not taking care of what I eat and exercising and being healthy. And, of course, this then applies to a spiritual connection. So I want to summarize what I've said. Number one, don't be a glutton. Number two, eat biblical food. Number three, exercise. And number four, use natural things for medicine and health. So we've seen that consistently through this, through what we've read. Don't be gorging yourself. Don't be a glutton. The foods that we should eat should be kind of based on the Bible. We should constantly exercise. And number four, We should be using natural things for medicine and health, like the leaves of the trees, like using a little wine. And if we take those four principles and we apply them carnally, you know what we can do? Apply them spiritually. What would be not being a glutton spiritually? Gorging yourself on this world. And the people who are gorging themselves in this world, you know what? They end up being too full and not needing God, and they're not hungering for spiritual righteousness. Hey, I don't need church on Sunday night because I'm good. Well, it doesn't sound like you're very hungry. Oh, but I'm just gorging and I'm just so full on everything else. And of course, they're not eating the things that they should be eating. They're eating a bunch of junk food. We need to make sure that we're having a diet of healthy food like the Bible. Amen. Not just eating biblical food, eating biblical words. Right. Eating the Bible. And you know, this is like the celery and the carrots. You can't eat too much of it. It won't hurt you, okay? You won't ever get too full of eating this. You can just keep eating this and eating this. Right. And we want to make sure that we're exercising and keeping ourselves in shape. Well, here's the thing. In the Christian life, we need to make sure that we're doing the work. We need to go out there and exercise our faith and actually put in the labor and not just be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work and actually putting into practice Christianity, actually doing Christianity, going soul winning, preaching the gospel. This is going to keep you healthy. And lastly, we talked about using natural things for medicine and health. You know what? Why don't you seek God for spiritual health? You know, a lot of people, they're like, hey, my marriage is falling apart, so I'm going to go listen to this online marriage counselor. Or I'm going to go ask my buddies at work. Or I'm depressed, and so I'm going to ask the world what I do. And the world's like, eat more ice cream, you know, or take this drug. In fact, let's just be honest. Literally every problem in the world today, you know what the answer is? Drugs. I mean, there is a drug for depression. There's a drug for obesity. There's a drug for everything that you could possibly think of. Some surgery. Or, hey, I don't like how I look. Well, get surgery. Well, I don't like this part of my body. Cut it off. I want this part to be bigger. Well, we'll put more in there or whatever. It's just like, well, I don't like my hair color. Well, we'll dye it this way. And, you know, it's just like, I mean, there's so much crazy stuff. That's what the world is trying to tell you to do. It's like, no. If you have a spiritual problem, if you have an issue, go to seek the Word of God. And you know, the Bible says that beauty is vain. You're like, oh, I'm struggling with beauty. Well, just realize it's worthless anyways. And then it doesn't matter. You don't realize that, hey, maybe by being healthy, you're going to be more attractive anyways. You want to be more attractive? Plastic surgery is not it. I mean, you look at these women that got plastic surgery, and you're like, you only got worse. But many times it would be like, hey, if you just actually stopped eating the Texas shakes and burgers and whatever and worked out a little bit, wow, that made a major improvement. You know, it's crazy. Some people have these dramatic transformations, and you're thinking like, there was something good looking under there somewhere, you know? It was like, but you had to work on it. And as men, you know, you're this skinny little effeminate soy boy, but then you go work out and it's like, whoa, who's this guy? Who's Arnold Schwarzenegger that just walked in? You know, it's just like, you know, there's a strong guy somewhere in there, you know. We just have to pump him up. I've got to pump you up, okay? And I'm telling you, the physical often relates to the spiritual. When we take care of our bodies physically and we're exercising and we're seeking, you know, biblical advice for our health needs, we'll often get it. And especially spiritually speaking, we need to get a constant diet of the Word of God. We need to constantly not gorge ourselves on the world. We need to be doing the work, and we need to seek God for spiritual health. If you're struggling, if you're down, if you're depressed, you're upset, you know, we need to seek this as our source and not the world. I mean, I actually have listened to some of these people just to get an idea of what they say. They have terrible advice. There's some guy that's works with Dave Ramsey, which probably everybody's heard of Dave Ramsey, but he has his own like online network. And he has some guy that does like marriage counseling or something on YouTube. You can like call in. He'll give you these marriage advices and things like that. And people are calling in and they're talking about, you know, bringing other people into a relationship, committing adultery and doing all these kinds of things. And he's never being like, well, you know, the Bible says don't do that. He's like, I just don't think that's the best option. You know, it's just like, what are you talking about? And, you know, he's not necessarily downplaying divorce. He's not necessarily downplaying all these things. You know, you go to the world, you're going to get some really bad answers. And if you think you can just call a random guy that doesn't even know you on the phone and he's going to fix your marriage problems, you're already doomed. That guy, because you know what he's not going to do? Follow up with that person and see if his advice worked. It's just, you know what he's doing? He's taking advantage of people that are in really bad marriages and taking their worst and most private things and putting them on the internet. You know what he is? A professional gossiper. He's a professional talebearer. I mean, can you imagine telling the whole world the worst things that are going on in your relationship? And it's like, who loves to hear that? Oh yeah, everybody loves to hear gossip. So again, major YouTube channel, it's exploding. This is the worst person to get marriage advice from. The guy that's blasting your private details to the whole world. That is not marriage counseling. That is a guy taking advantage of weak and vulnerable people. Don't let the world, you go to the doctor and he just takes advantage of you because you're down, depressed, having issues. Take this drug. Oh, well, I'm sure $150 a month drug's gonna help your problems. No, you know what it's gonna do? You're gonna have less money. You're gonna have all kinds of side effects from those drugs, and it's not even gonna affect your real issue. Many times you'll have another issue and they'll be like, oh, you have to take this other drug for this issue. Because you're taking this drug, it's thinning out your blood, so now we need to do something for your blood. And then it's like, and now it's doing this thing to your heart, now you need this thing for your heart, now you need this drug, and it's just like a forever chemistry experiment. Avoid the chemistry experiments. God is saying, eat seeds, eat fruit, eat milk, eat bread, eat meat, right? But let's not gorge ourselves and get so fat that we just forget who God is. Let's stay hungry physically and spiritually, all right? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us wisdom. And I pray that you would help us to have the wisdom and the strength and the willpower to subdue the flesh and not always just give in to everything. I pray that we would be careful and we would consider diligently what is set before us. And we would recognize that it has a major impact on our lives, our physical strength, on our overall well-being and our health. And I pray that we would take these things seriously as they impact us and our families and our service to you. I pray that you would just help us to stay hungry for the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
All right, we're going to learn a new song tonight. It's 359, Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart. 359, Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart. Let's sing it together. 359. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me.
Against thee.